This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
What's going on, guys? I hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Today, got a great show for you. We're welcome Elizabeth Earnshaw. And Elizabeth is a renowned Gottman therapist, a licensed marriage and family therapist, clinical fellow of the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy. And she has a new book coming out November 30th, her debut book, I Want This to Work. And it's a trustworthy, inclusive guide to navigating the most challenging relationship issues we face. Couples will learn to work with three challenges they must tackle to repair and strengthen their relationships: conflict, healing, and connection. And today, Elizabeth and I talk a bit about conflict and unfair expectations and relationship shoulds. We've all been there where we say, my partner should know what I'm thinking, right? And it's actually a pretty absurd thing to think, but we do it because we just want love and connection. And sometimes it's hard when our partner doesn't give it to us. And obviously, that doesn't work when we have that approach of, hey, you should be doing this. You should take me on the date night. You should take out the garbage. I shouldn't have to ask. So Elizabeth and I get into the details of why we do that and how to talk to our partner better so that we can create more connection, have better dialogue, and less conflict. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, and hope you guys enjoy today's show. Hi, Liz. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about unfair expectations and relationship shoulds. So why don't we start by having you share with us what some examples might be for unfair expectations that we might bring into a relationship?
Sure. Yeah. So many of us, we enter into relationships just expecting the things that we've either observed, that we saw and we really liked, or we kind of internalized, or things that we hoped would be very, very different from what we experienced in childhood. And so what can happen is we can enter into relationships with a lot of really unclear expectations. And so sometimes an unfair expectation is something that's like absolutely not possible. It might be an expectation like your partner should be able to read your mind. And sometimes we have unfair expectations because they're not spoken, but they could potentially be possible. For example, we might expect that our partner takes us on romantic dates sometimes. And so it might be unfair if we don't speak up about it, but it's not necessarily an unfair thought to have. It's just a problem if you assume the other person's going to know.
And why do we seem to always do that? That we think our partner should be able to read our minds. And I want to ask you why we do that and how we can communicate to our partner the things we would like to see happen, like that romantic date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really good question. Why do people assume that other people know what they think? I think some of it is that human beings are just naturally a little bit egocentric. We assume that the way that we think, the way that we were raised, the things that we want are often the things that other people think, want, the things that other people experienced, how they're feeling. And so what happens is that we kind of forget to get curious with other people to see if there's differences. And because of that, we assume that when someone doesn't do something that we had hoped for, or doesn't understand our feelings, that it's because they don't care about us. When in reality, it's just that we're, you know, we're all different people. And your second question, how do we express it when there is something that we want? So it might be something that's totally fair. We have a need, we have a desire, there's a feeling we have. One of the ways that I suggest that people try to bring up issues is by making sure, number one, to not make your partner the problem, but to rather talk about the thing that's been the problem for you. So for example, with the date nights, it's not that your partner is unthoughtful or lazy or unromantic, which when we get resentful, we might say things like that. We might say, you're never romantic, you never think of me, but instead to talk about what's been difficult for you. So to say something like, hey, you know, over the past few months, we haven't been spending a lot of time together. That is really hard for me. I love spending time with you, and it's important that we spend time together. So do you think that there is a way that we can start making more time for that? Or it might be saying something like, I love date nights. And one of the things that's important to me, and I don't think I've ever expressed this, is when people plan them. And I'm just wondering if you could start doing that in our relationship. Now, when I make this suggestion to people, one of the things that they'll say a lot is, I shouldn't have to ask. And so that's where we get stuck in these shoulds. They'll say, but I shouldn't have to ask my partner to take me on dates. They should just know, or I shouldn't have to ask them to do X, Y, and Z. And that's where we can really get ourselves into trouble.
I shouldn't have to ask. I definitely have felt that way. And yeah, but it's a crazy egocentric thing to bring into a relationship, really, because it's like, no, you do need to ask. And we have different upbringings. We're different people. And that's what makes relationships beautiful, but also very hard. So I want to go back over, you said the specific things of how to talk to your partner. And that's so important. You know, don't make your partner the problem. Use I statements instead of you do this. What if we use I statements? We don't make our partner the problem. We communicate in the best way we can, but then our partner gets defensive and they're like, hey, what are you talking about? I tried to take us on a date 2 weeks ago and this and that. And it seems like that's a lot of times from personal experience, that's a inevitable thing that comes up. I don't want to say inevitable, but a thing that comes up. So how can the defensive partner not respond that way? And how can the partner that's asking for the date nights then continue the dialogue with a partner that's getting defensive?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because that is the big problem, right? Is that if I suggest to people, well, just bring it up, make sure that your partner knows, share this with them. It is often the case that they share it and then the response is defensiveness. And that can be really defeating. And you said inevitable, and it kind of is inevitable in our relationships to be met with defensiveness. And it shouldn't be kind of the chronic state of being. So when we bring up an issue, we can reduce the likelihood of defensiveness in the other person by using I statements, like you said, by making sure to talk about what the actual problem is and not identifying character flaws. And so we're avoiding criticism in doing that, right? And an easy hack is to make sure that you're not using words like always or never. So if you say things like, you never think about me, or you're always on your phone, or you're never helping around the house, those types of statements are going to be likely to elicit defensiveness. Even if the other person shouldn't get defensive, they probably will. And that's because it's human nature to defend ourselves, right? So if you start criticizing me, or if you start telling me that there's an absolute truth about me, for example, you're saying you never think about me. So that's, you're saying that it's an absolute truth about me, that I'm not thoughtful about you. I'm going to start telling you all of the moments where I was thoughtful instead of actually listening to you. So as the speaker, as the person bringing up the concern or the complaint, it's really, really important that you do it in a way that talks about the issue and talks about your own feelings. Now, you might do that and your partner might still get defensive. And this is because defensiveness is about perceived criticism. So It could be real criticism. It might not be, but it's the perception of it. And so if your partner feels any sense of shame or like you're not understanding the whole story or they're embarrassed, they're going to get defensive. Now, if you're the partner who gets defensive and you're listening, you might even be having defensive thoughts about that. You might say things like, no, that's not true. Or yes, it is true that I haven't like done a lot of dates recently, but that's because I've been so busy. So you'll over justify yourself or you'll add buts in. So if you are that person that finds yourself doing that, the biggest thing that you could do is next time someone brings a complaint to you and you notice yourself starting to explain it away or even counter-criticize, stop yourself and take a deep breath and notice that you're getting defensive and recognize that if you get defensive in that moment, it's going to just amp up the criticism of the other person and it's going to increase disconnect. So they're either going to get more mad and they're going to say, see, I told you, you never listened to me. Or they're going to say, forget it, I don't care. And they're going to disconnect. So you don't want that to happen. And instead, what you can try to do is take responsibility for your part or validate any part of what the other person is saying that makes sense. So your partner says, honey, I don't think we've been having enough date nights. I really want some more date nights, or I would really love for you to plan dates. Instead of saying something like, well, the reason I haven't planned dates is because you haven't had enough time for me recently. What you want to try to say instead is, you're right. We haven't really hung out that much recently. What do you think we should do about that? Or taking responsibility, you're absolutely right. I've totally slacked on planning dates. When you do those two things, you are going to help your partner to feel seen and understood, and it's going to create connection instead of disconnect.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrogen Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrogen Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrogen Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estrogen Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estrogen Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
The ego just makes this a lot harder than you're saying, right? The whole taking responsibility is so important, but that's hard to do when our partner comes to us and is like lodging a complaint, even if they do it in a nice way with I statements. I feel that something I'm really trying to work on is to not have my response be like, yeah, but I'm busy, or in to take responsibility. So what are some things someone could think about if they're feeling like their partner is not taking responsibility? And then on the flip side, if maybe they have trouble taking responsibility?
That's really important. So first of all, you don't want to make this about creating more shame. Like you said, the ego makes it really hard to be able to do these things on both sides, right? It's an ego thing to use criticism too. So being able to dip into yourself and your vulnerability is really hard to do, whether it's by bringing something up gently or not being defensive. Really, really hard. Because of that, the last thing you want to do is create shame. But that can happen very easily when people make missteps in their communication, right? And this happens with my husband and I sometimes even, and I'm a therapist, but he'll get defensive and I'll say, see, you're always so defensive. And in that moment, I'm criticizing him. I'm making the conflict even more about people being wrong and not good enough and all of that. So we want to work really, really hard on extending grace to ourselves and to each other. And so one thing to think about is when I catch myself doing these things, if I catch myself being critical, if I catch myself being defensive, is there a way that I can have compassion with myself instead of saying, oh, what's wrong with me? I can't get this right. Compassion would look like saying something like, you know what, honey, I'm really sorry. I don't know why I just said things that way. Let me try again. When you have compassion, you actually can access trying it again. Compassion with the other person is also really important then. So if your partner gets defensive, instead of saying, you're always so defensive, are you able to say something like, hey, honey, what's going on? I am just trying to talk to you about something that's important to me. And I can hear that I don't know. I feel like maybe you think I'm criticizing you or something like that. So when you have compassion for your partner, when you can give them a grace, you can actually be curious about them. Same as someone's being critical. Babe, I really want to listen to you right now. I can tell that something's important. And the way that you're talking to me at this moment is making it really hard for me to listen. So when we extend grace, we give people another chance. We let them know what's happening for us. Now, if it continues on and your partner keeps criticizing you or keeps getting defensive or whatever it is, then clearly it's time for a break. And the reality is that I don't really know any couples who are so amazing at dealing with conflict that they avoid these situations all the time. So when you can't avoid it and you just keep getting entrenched, at least one of you has to be able to take the initiative to say, this isn't going well. Let's just take like 20 minutes, chill out, and we'll talk later. It can be really hard because the other person might be still stuck in like what you said, that ego, like, no, we're going to talk right now, or why aren't you listening to me, or whatever it is. But at that point, a break is really, really important.
One of the other scenarios that I feel and experience is that it can become a competition of feelings, maybe. And so then, you know, one partner has a issue with something and they'll say, come to the other partner, the use I statements. And instead of an excuse or not taking responsibility, it's they'll bring up an issue with something else, right? So it's like, yeah, I did that, but you did this. And that's going to lead to nowhere, basically. So what would you say to people stuck in that pattern?
Yeah, really good question. So that would be called the blame game pattern, where there's this competition. And sometimes it's about feelings. You know, I feel really sad because you aren't doing X, Y, and Z. And the other person says, well, you know, I feel really angry because the way you spoke to me last night. So I guess that's just how it is. And you get entrenched in this pointing fingers back and forth, which is really frustrating, obviously. And what happens is, in most cases, nothing gets resolved because you get totally gassed out in the argument. And then it just ends. You sweep things under the rug and then you fight again when it comes back up. So even within that, though, there's still that defensiveness coming up, right? I'm sad. I'm telling you I'm sad because we didn't talk today. And then your defense to that is, well, I'm not going to let that in. I'm putting my shield up because I'm mad at you. And that's why I didn't talk to you. So even if your feeling within your defensiveness is totally valid, it often doesn't get heard if you utilize it right away as your shield. So I'm sad. I'm mad at you. You're sad and I'm mad at you. I'm going to put my shield up right away. I'm going to block your sadness because essentially I'm saying your sadness doesn't count because I'm mad. The second that that happens, you've already decided that you're in a power struggle with each other. You're deciding who's important, whose feeling is more important in that moment. And that is really challenging to get out of. And so what I encourage people to do is try to slow down. And this doesn't mean that your defense isn't eventually going to come up. At some point, it has to. But it might mean that even just for a split second, if somebody says, I'm really upset we didn't spend time together, and you're really mad at them, maybe what you could say is just take a second, 5 seconds, and say, whew, okay, you know, tell me what you're upset about. I want to hear it. Or just validating. I get that you're upset that we didn't hang out today. And then because your side is really important too, you can seg into, would it be okay with you if I talk about what was going on for me that made it hard for me to hang out today? When you ask a question around consent, it's so strange. Sometimes that's all it takes to turn something from feeling like it's you being defensive to feeling like a conversation. So if you have something you need to explain, if you have a counterpoint, if you also have a feeling, just saying something like, would it be okay with you if I talked to you a little bit about what my perspective was in this situation? That can make a huge difference.
Those little dialogue tricks are so valuable because I feel like it does help to put the defenses down, and communication is so important. That's why I love going over the way you're doing it, like specific things that we can say to de-escalate or to make it feel less blaming, because that's how you have a productive conversation. It is important that we're using I statements. It is important. I love that you said that. I haven't heard that before, but to ask a question, you know, would it be okay if I share my side of this? And your partner could say no. They could be like, I'm angry. I don't want to hear it right now. And maybe they should say, but let's take a break and tell me in 10 minutes. So really valuable dialogue tricks to implement.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if they say like, no, I'm angry, I don't want to hear your side, I actually think there's still more you can do with that, where then you can say, okay, I get that. So what do you need me to hear? Because it sounds like you don't feel like I'm completely understanding. Because people really only block that out if they think that you're not getting it. And so by giving a little bit, by saying, okay, I'll put my position to the side. What's going on with you? What else do you need me to understand? Then you are more likely going to get that other person to put their defenses down, talk a little bit more, and then offer you that space for you to explain yourself.
So we talked a little bit about unfair expectations. It sounds obvious, but it's not, but that our partner can read our mind. And we use the date example and gave some great dialogue around that. How can we examine our own expectations and get to a place where we're asking, you know, we are asking our partner for things, we're using I statements, but maybe some of them just aren't realistic, if that makes sense. How do we navigate and think about our expectations in general?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it makes complete sense. So we are going to have plenty of expectations that are reasonable and can be met in the relationship. And we're also going to have many expectations that are not reasonable for the relationship. They might be reasonable expectations for life, but maybe not reasonable to have one person be able to meet them. And one thing I'm noticing with relationships in general is that we're kind of in a world right now where we expect more from our partners than people have ever expected before. We want them to be our best friends, our lovers, business partners. Like my husband and I work together. I mean, there are so many things that we are expecting and relationally from our partners. And something that is really, really important is if you find yourself starting to be disappointed or feeling like your partner isn't meeting all of your expectations, to sit with yourself and to say, well, is it because they have to? Could I still be happy in this relationship if they don't? And if they are really important to me, are there other places that some of these things can be met? Or are these even fair for anybody to do for me? And so, you know, we might have this expectation that our partner and I are going to always be together and that they're going to be the one that makes my life feel fun and full and we're going to do all of our activities together. And maybe that's not what's happening. And so is that something that maybe you can start expecting your friends to spend more time with you? You can start expecting yourself to pick up some hobbies or to do some other things outside of the relationship. So there are going to be expectations that you're not getting. And this is the really hard part. You have to decide, is this something that I can get somewhere else and it's still going to be okay for the relationship? Or are these like deal breaker expectations? I would say for many people, they're not deal breakers. But if you don't do that reflection, what ends up happening is you get into conflict because, again, you just have all of these shoulds placed on the other person.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
It's so important to get clear on our own expectations and then to share them with our partners, because like we've been talking about, they're not mind readers, right? They're not going to know what it is, how often you expect to go on a date night, because I always like to say this, but that's why relationships are so hard. We have unique upbringings, we're unique individuals, and then we come with another person who has their own uniqueness. And one person, a date night every 2 months is like perfect. And the other, they want it weekly. But unless you talk about that, you're going to have conflict, right? So it's such a valuable exercise, not only to understand our own expectations, but then really the important next step is to share them with our partners.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the question is, can we create like win-win scenarios most of the time? And like that example you gave was so good. You know, some people are totally fine with like one date a month, two dates a month. And other people are like, no, I want to hang out with you multiple times a week. You know, my husband loves spending a ton of time together, and it's so sweet. And if he was matched with someone who's like, you know what, I only want one date a month, I don't know how that would work out. But it's not that either person would be wrong, right? The question would be, can you come up with win-win scenarios together where you're able to look and say, okay, you like to have more independent time, I like to have more time with you. What feels like a happy middle ground here that kind of honors both of our core needs while still making room for flexibility? And this is something I talk about a lot with expectations. In a relationship, you have to be willing to be flexible with most of your expectations, right? You have to be willing to say, you know, I would love X, Y, and Z, but because I'm building something with another human being, I'm willing to take influence from them around what that's going to look like in our lives.
When should we not be flexible around our expectations? I know a lot of the time I've talked about values, and that's obviously super important, someone being ethical. But to me, it's understanding our expectations. But when do we draw a line?
Yeah. So definitely values and definitely respect, right? So everyone should have the expectation that they're going to be respected in their relationship. And this is across the board, like that they're going to be physically respected, emotionally respected. And when people aren't being respected, things like verbal abuse can happen, physical abuse, not taking you into consideration in the relationship. So tons of unilateral decisions being made, throwing you under the bus, gossiping, like all of those types of things. It is reasonable to expect that your partner respects you and protects you, right? And the other thing that I think is really important is values. And I'm not just talking about, there's actually like room for difference with some values, right? Like I might really value money and somebody else that I'm with might not. And there's actually ways that you can work through that. That's called a perpetual problem, but it doesn't mean that it's not, there's not a middle ground that people come up with. That happens a lot in relationships. But there are certain values, like you said, ethics, that really, really matter. And if you expect that other people are, let's say, an ethical person, and they're not, that's a totally fair and normal thing to expect. And you're probably not going to be too flexible with that.
Well, Liz, you have given us a lot to think about and a lot of great tools to implement. And we've talked about this before on the show, conflict resolution, how to talk to our partner in the most productive ways. But you can never talk about it enough, because this is like the day-to-day, the little things that add up in a relationship, but that make a relationship. So thank you so much for all the great insights today. Before we wrap up, are there any things that we skipped over or maybe that you want to emphasize? And also please share with our audience about your forthcoming book, and then we'll say goodbye.
Awesome. Yeah, no, you did such a great job asking questions. I don't think we skipped over anything. I think you did such a nice job thinking of like examples where it might be hard for people to navigate this type of stuff so that we could call some of that out. So thank you for doing that. And my book is, I'm so excited. It's going to be out on November 30th. It's called I Want This to Work. And it is a guide for healthy relationships. If you are struggling in your relationship, if you're feeling frustrated about, you know, disconnect, difficult communication skills, and you're not really sure what to do next, I offer a lot of really clear advice and suggestions based off of my work with like hundreds of couples over the past decade, for how to change some of those really stuck issues in your relationship, just like we talked about today, actually.
Awesome, Liz. And where can people find more information about yourself and about the book?
Great question. Yeah. So you can find more about me on my Instagram at Liz Listens. I share relationship advice there. You can also find me at abetterlifetherapy.com. And my book is going to be everywhere that books are sold. So anywhere you like to buy your books, it will be there. And there is also the Audible version as well, if you prefer to listen.
Awesome. Well, our listeners can find the links in the show notes and at idopodcast.com. And thanks so much for coming on the show today, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge. We really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark my relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.